All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. It's Wednesday the 19th here in Sydney, Australia. Adam plugging in for the Crass Files podcast, and author-researcher John Hamer is plugging in with me tonight from the UK. It's always great to chat with John, and we usually do these podcasts once a month to catch up, and we talk about everything that we're seeing on the ground right now and everything that's happening all around us, and we also try to interconnect John's great work and books as well, because you'll find that most of what we're discussing here are in John's books. Absolutely, 100%, just interwoven in all those great volumes of books that John writes, and we'll mix that in tonight and talk about John's website and his BitChute channel and all of this. Everything's up on the website, crassfiles.com, so plug in over there, lots going up indeed, and thanks to the members as well. And you can support me over on the website for a cup of coffee a month, and that just helps me to continue in very challenging times here indeed. And so just click on one of the support banners there, and there's a members area, and lots to get involved in there. So always doing stuff. I'm doing nightly news podcasts now when I'm not on with guests, just covering all the news that's coming through and breaking down everything in my own way and giving my opinions. So plenty to cover. And also, you'll find all the social media links on the website too. On the sidebar, there's Brighton Social, brighton.com. You'll find us on Truthbook as well. I know a lot of people are moving over there. So Jamie McIntyre started that here in Australia. It's doing really well. And so Crass Files is now on Truthbook, and you can follow us there. Also at Gab, at BitChute, and but that's all linked on the website now. John, how are you going? Obviously, crazy times here in Australia. Contacting you a little bit with little bits of information, but how's things over on your end?
Hi, everyone else. It's good to be back again. You wouldn't think there was anything. You wouldn't think the last 2 years had happened here. I mean, the only thing that is a kind of reminder of it is that there are still a very tiny minority of people still wearing masks. Both out in the open air and within shops and restaurants, etc. But it is only a very, very small minority, I would say probably less than 10%. But other than that, there are no restrictions at all. You just think nothing had happened in the last 2 years. The only thing is that we can't travel, internationally, which is a big part of UK life. I know it's probably a little bit different in Oz because of the, the distances and the size of the place, etc. But we cannot really... We unvaccinated heathens are not allowed to, enter virtually anywhere in Europe, the States, obviously Australia, New Zealand. There are one or two places where you can visit that are as an unvaccinated person. But that's just a minor inconvenience at the moment. But other than that, you wouldn't think that the last 2 years had happened. As I say, it's just. It's like everything's almost back to normal, such as normal ever was,
That's an interesting thing, isn't it, that you're blocked still from travel with everything that's happened in the UK. They've really dismantled a lot of the COVID-19 carnival, the tents have come down, they've dismantled everything they really have.
Yes.
And but there's that one... sticking point, isn't there? There's that one little point in all of this that they haven't taken away, and that's international travel, which I know for the Brits they love, because that's right what you say before, because we're on an island here in Australia. It's such a huge country, and it's great distances, and to travel overseas is a lot of energy and effort.
It's a big thing, isn't
it? It's very expensive. It's a massive thing, It's a big thing, and you really got to organize it. But I know for you guys over in the UK, you got Europe at your doorstep, and people like to go to different countries. I know that Ireland doesn't have much restrictions, and I know some folks here who are our friends. One lady, her dad died after he got the booster, like a week after, and they're a nice Irish family that we know, and they basically told her, you better come now. He's got like a week, and she went over there, and she said it was great. The worst was Sydney, getting out of Sydney, but she said Heathrow, and the best was in Ireland. They didn't really say anything, just welcome back home. Love, here you go. Here's a pamphlet or whatever. she didn't have a problem at all, and she went in that's and out right. fine. So that was yeah. really good. But they're restricting your travel now. This is an interesting part of all of this, isn't it?
Yes. Like you say, I mean, we Brits, we travel to the European mainland, you know, a lot for holidays, vacations, you know, Spain, Italy, France, you know, even places like Germany, Portugal, you know, it's just a common thing. It's only a two hour flight across there, you know, so, you know, even to the south of France, a couple of hours, Spain, a couple of hours. You know, if you want to go to Paris, for example, it's like from London, it's like about 35 minutes or something ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, it's quite a popular thing for we Brits to do. But obviously, that's not an option anymore for the unvaxxed, which is a bit of an inconvenience. But, yeah, goodness knows where it's going, though. I don't know what the next phase is going to be. I'm still finding it difficult to comprehend that you know, this is the case. I'm just kind of wary about it ticking each week as it comes and just wondering what they're going to spring on us next. Now, I know that, you know, down in your neck of the woods, they really are ramping up the fear porn, aren't they, with the floods and everything else that's been going on. It's just a nightmare for you guys. I can't imagine what it must be like living in that environment.
Mm. Well, yeah, it's crazy. And I did put up an article the other day on the website, you know, was entitled as the media. It was by Matt Agarist, and it was, "As media focuses on Ukraine, the COVID tyrants are quietly backing down to avoid accountability." I got that up on the website. It was interesting how they've distracted, how this Ukraine-Russia thing. I was going to talk to you a bit about this tonight, but you know, how this popped up right now. I mean, we were getting a lot of pushback in Australia and a lot of people angry about all sorts of things, and the whole mask thing and the social distancing and the vertical eating and drinking and how many people can do this and do that. The whole Simon Says thing, that has just been really falling to pieces, and people are starting to really shine a light on it and get angry. It's the whole thing is not the nonsense of it is starting to be really exposed, as the injuries from the inoculations, you know, are just popping up absolutely everywhere, and it's just obscene. And these state of emergency powers are all coming down in the US and everywhere. So they've really switched very, very strongly and quickly over to the Putin Russia, Ukraine thing, which distracted so many people away. But of course, as you said, they seem to be moving into the climate change part of their operation now, especially here in Australia. So we had the fires of 2019, which I've been covering recently. And keep in mind, folks, as I covered, the Prime Minister of this country stood up in front of all of us and said that there was a $2 billion fund for fire victims to rebuild and everything, and it was a complete lie. There's no $2 billion fund there whatsoever. It's not there.
Politicians ever tell the truth, Adam? I doubt it.
This was a disgraceful one, though. I mean, over a billion animals killed. I mean, the thing is with the Australian fires is that when we went into lockdowns here in Australia for the COVID PSYOP, there was still all these people around the country trying to sort out what was going on with the fires and trying to rebuild their lives. They shattered their communities, and then they got told to be in lockdown because of the COVID thing, and so they never got to actually recover, you know. And now, and now we've gone through the worst floods in Australia's history. We have entire areas. We got hit last night. It was shocking. I've been here 8 years just in this house. I've never seen anything like that. Very, very, very strange weather events, John, to say the least. So the North Coast. And you'll be talking to Ethan later as well at Tot News. Ethan did a great video that I sent you on YouTube about the smart rails, you know, that they're going to be putting into Australia, and the lines and how it all interconnects. Yes. The weather modifications going back to the 40s, how the cloud seeding, all of this, they're messing with the weather and everything. So it's not a hidden thing anymore. And also how they have targeted basically areas that are very open-minded and maybe anti-government and anti, you know, jabs.
Typical.
Yeah, these kind of areas that fend for themselves, live out in the country, areas that don't want the inoculations, areas that question the government, these kinds of areas, they've annihilated them. They have annihilated these people, which is is just shocking. I mean, there's towns up there, Lismore and stuff. It's a disaster area, John. And this storm us yesterday and last night, and it was just frightening. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, we did get through okay, but Sydney was a disaster zone as well. I mean, the amount of water. And now today, it's like they just turned the tap off. And very strange. And I was talking to people about some things like just hearing knocks in the sky. It looked like a big dark grey curtain had put up, and there was people with like lights behind there. There was no lightning. It was just like these booms, like pulsing. And the rain, you just can't even imagine the amount of rain yesterday. Yeah. We got just completely flooded. Many people out of their houses, flooded their houses. It was just a disaster around here as well. And there's just no way. There's no way that is
they're
a normal weather
event.
They're
just trying to... Yeah, like you say, they're trying to push the climate change agenda, aren't they? And they say, oh, look at all the floods in Australia, global warming, you know, ooh, you know, be very afraid, oh, God, you know. I mean, we've had the pestilence, we've had the fires, we've had the floods. What's going to come next? What's, you know, in the biblical agenda, it's like famine, isn't it? You know, so we've had those three, and now what's the fourth one? Famine, yeah. I mean, I know that sounds really scary, and but it's definitely coming. You know, I can see it not just in Australia. I'm talking about worldwide. You know, I think they're going to cut off all the food supply lines eventually, and that's going to be our next challenge.
I think so too. Strongly would say that. Also climate lockdowns. They're already putting in emergency orders and stuff. So we're going to this whole phase. And, you know, if you look at lockdowns...
January 2030 kicking in, isn't it?
That's right. If you look at the lockdowns with the fake viral pandemic, you know, stay at home and everything, this could be another whole beast, because when you're hitting people with floods or fires or freezing conditions or whatever, they've got to move out of their house, people have to evacuate. Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of people around Sydney alone had to evacuate. You know, we have big waterways and dams right near where I live that were on red alert to burst, which would have been devastating.
Did it affect you at all?
You know, huh?
And your family, did it affect you and your family at all?
Yeah, it did. You know, but we got out okay, just because of the position of the house and being on a little bit of a hill, and the water rushing, kind of pooling like a pool in the place. But moving away at least. But others in it just depends on where you are. But you can definitely see areas being targeted more away from cities, and you know, and so this is just very interesting shift, because I think that what we're witnessing now in Australia is Agenda 2030 in plain view. I mean, you just can't deny it. They're messing with the climate. They're attacking us with weather weapons. They're pushing people out of their properties, out of the country areas. And already in the media, John, up in Lismore, which is, 10 hours from here, up in these areas, they've been devastated. I mean, the town just isn't there anymore. It's smashed to pieces. And already they're coming out when people don't even know what planet they're on, and they're saying, you can't rebuild there. We don't want you to rebuild there.
Is that Queensland?
Yeah, Queensland got hit as well. But this is in the New South Wales border, over the border.
All right.
So these are basically, if you want to call it what the media do, this is basically anti-vaccination strongholds. These are the areas with the highest amounts of people who don't want these jabs, who don't want these 5G towers and things like that. And there's certain areas there where they're really fighting against 5G technology being implemented into their towns and everything. It's a very strong area, and it's an area where people take care of themselves and they grow food and live out in these areas, and they definitely targeted them. And now they're saying, don't go back there, you know? So, and now we find out about the smart rails and the smart city infrastructure and everything. So we know where they're going with Agenda 2030, and they're moving very fast in this country, very quickly. And you basically have a situation in your face in Australia now where they're flooding people and then, you know, forcing them out of where they're living, destroying their places, and now telling them, don't rebuild in this area, you know, not offering any help whatsoever. This is another aspect of this in Australia. The Australian Defence Force have not been helping. The emergency services, hardly really even there at all, and you have to be vaccinated to volunteer. It's absolutely insane. And we have the Australian Defence Force doing selfies and, you know, for the media, basically, and not helping at all. So this is something that we've been covering a lot here, because we had Operation COVID Shields, where a military general was brought in to terrify Australians into getting inoculations into our arms.
Yeah.
It was Operation COVID Shields. They had the military on our streets in Sydney and all over, knocking on doors. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this campaign of fear and propaganda. Yes. To get us jabbed, but right when we've got these terrible floods and people are in dire need of help, and God knows how many deaths there are, how many people have been buried under mud or what's going on in a lot of areas, they're no-shows.
Yeah.
They haven't helped. And so we can see that this is very clearly an agenda. They've done this to these areas, and now they're absolutely pretending to help, and they're flying over with choppers, but they're not actually helping, because this has all been done by design, John. And I think you might be able to explain this a lot better. How people, this is forcing people to understand what we're up against here, and that this whole trust thing in the government, that they're here to look after you, is bullshit. And people need to start waking up here and understanding what's really going on, because we're under attack by these people. And this is not our government. And you know, they're attacking
us. Sorry to interrupt, Dad, but guess what? You know, there's not a word in the UK media about any of this stuff.
Nothing. No.
No, nobody's, as far as I'm aware, there's not been one mention, certainly, you know, that I've seen. I mean, I don't follow the mainstream media that closely, but there's not been one mention of the Australian floods at all. You know, so what does that tell us? That tells us that, you know, they don't want us to know, because, you know, there's some kind of covert operation going on, isn't there, in Australia?
Is. And as well, like, even the weeks building up to this, you know, I've been noticing military, full camouflage, big military choppers going over our areas. Because I'm on the northern beaches of Sydney, which is the worst hit area. We got hit the worst here, and western suburbs as well. But there's been these big choppers going over, boom, 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 doing circles around houses, always there over the last months. Yeah. And then you get hit with this, you know. So they're planning. This is all perfectly designed in my book. It's almost like they completely control the weather, and they can just do whatever they want and direct the bad weather wherever they want. But there's no one in their right mind is going to tell me ever that was a normal event. We've never experienced floods like that. This was other level stuff, John. This was absolutely unbelievable floods. I mean, you can't even explain this, how much water and what was done here. It was not a natural event. And then to see how they're acting, and to see how all this is working, how all this is working out, I can clearly see this is all part of the agenda. And I think Australia is we are really at the forefront here. They are really experimenting on us. So I think we're going to be the real shining light for the Agenda 2030. So I think the world needs to look at us and see what they're doing here. And I know it's happening in the US. There's all sorts of weather events, and I think we're going to move into this now. And they just think that we're going to forget about what they did during the whole COVID thing, what they've done to us, you know. And I guess people will when you're battling to survive, John, through climate conditions directed at you.
Well, one of the things that you very briefly touched on a few minutes ago was the fact that, you know, have they pulled back from all this COVID stuff because they're frightened of retributions about, you know, because obviously what they did was illegal and they know it. And there are lots and lots of private criminal prosecutions going on, both here in the UK and other places as well. I don't know if that's the case in Australia. But I, you know, a lot of, you know, there is a consensus of opinion over here that says this is why they've pulled back, because they're really running scared now because of all these prosecutions that are beginning. And, you know, if these go ahead and they get found guilty, then, you know, they're going to be in serious trouble, you know. And not only that, but it will also, you know, damage the agenda seriously as well. You know, if it ever comes to light that this was all a complete scam, I'm talking about COVID now, then, you know, that's going to damage the credibility to a massive extent. So, you know, I'm tending to go along with that it is because of that that they're pulling back all the restrictions here. So, you know, are you aware of any private prosecutions going on in the in Oz about you know, against any of the politicians there?
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot happening. There's some quite high profile ones and everything, but as we know, these Freemasons, you know, they're so
Oh, they all stick together, that's for
yeah, they're
sure.
interconnected into the whole political and system, you know, but it is going on. But as I said before, yeah, you're seeing this kind of system now where they seem to be packing up a lot of these, you know, a lot of these people who pushed this agenda, this COVID-19 agenda, onto people and pushed this inoculation program. They seem to be packing up and thinking that they're just going to walk away from this as it all gets shifted here. And what better way to shift people's attentions away or distract people than a war? It's been absolutely unbelievable. It really is something they always do, you know. But boy, as I said, we've copped it here in Australia. If you look back at the fires and everything, and now it's still continuing. We just haven't had a break. We haven't had a
Well,
break, and
it kind of fits in with another aspect of the Agenda 21, 2030, and that is that they want everybody moving into cities.
that's right,
So
exactly.
if they're creating havoc in the outback, or you know, in you know the more rural areas of Australia, you know, I think it's like tacitly encouraging people to move into cities where it's quote safe, you know. So there could be some of that, an element of that to it as well. You know, who knows? It's just every day is an interesting new experience, isn't it, at the moment? You know, wondering what the hell is going to be happening next, you know.
That's right. I was going to maybe get you to go through a few bullet points because you've been talking on your show on that goes up on the BitChute channel. And look, the last one you were discussing the Freemasons quite a bit, and we got it getting a lot of this through. And I think you're the best person to kind of talk about this because we're getting information up today, and people are putting info up about the Khazarian mafia in Europe. And everything that's happening around Putin and everything, and obviously NATO and all these forces and UN and everything, but the Khazarian mafia, the China being communism, the Israeli element and Jewish element, all of these sort of aspects. But you were talking on one of your last shows, and you do mention a lot in your books about the Freemasons and this Masonic sort of system. Now, what was interesting. Just as a little side note, there was some of our biggest, I think our biggest protests happened a few weeks ago down in Canberra, our capital. Canberra is the capital of Australia. This is where the political figures go and everything, and Parliament House and everything. So there was a big event. We think up to about 1 million people. We do know that about 1.3 million vehicles entered the Capital Territory over that time and the weekend. So it was a huge event. We went down and stayed with a friend there, and we went on the day. It was absolutely phenomenal. It was amazing, and it was an
Yeah, I
incredible
bet.
day. And to walk with those people, and I've never been actually at Parliament House. So we have Old Parliament House, John. Which is more of a parliament house, and then we have the new one that they have built there. So these imposters, you know, and it was really interesting just to walk up to Parliament House because it's actually a pyramid in Canberra, and just to see this pyramid, if you have a look online, you'll see Australian Parliament House is actually a pyramid. And Canberra is a very special place, I know, to the Indigenous people. There's a lot of special energy there, so Freemasons don't just build pyramids anywhere. I mean, this is definitely a specific location. But anyway, on that day, a lot of people were made sick and had burns. You probably would have heard about that. They had the LRAD machine, the acoustic device set up. But I actually was made sick myself and had a burned throat. and got ill after I returned, and others had the same symptoms. And we do believe that some kind of microwave weapon was used against us on that day.
I'm absolutely sure you're right. By the federal police.
Yeah. I think we're absolutely positive because people had their sensitive tissue around their lips and faces burned, and they didn't get much sun, and they were actually burned, and my throat was burned. It's like I drank boiling water straight out of the kettle. It was that kind of sore throat and the inflammation you would get. It was horrific. I've never had anything like that. And I had a temperature over 40, and many people had the same symptoms. So basically they gave us COVID, if you want to believe in COVID, but not via a virus. It was via directed frequencies. And some people saw this and in the US, and they explained it, and I put some videos up. Definitely some kind of weapon was directed at us. And so this is disgusting, because there's women and children there. It was a family event. And this shows you what we're dealing with. You know, what kind of...
The demons, mate. Demons, John. They are conscienceless, psychopaths.
Soulless.
They have no empathy. They have no...
These police forces.
...feeling for their fellow man. They are just absolute, utter disgusting demons. I can't think of any better word to describe them.
Imagine doing that to women and children, and breastfeeding mothers and elderly people, aiming directed energy weapons, and people had these burns on them, John. Yeah. And that's what interests me, because at first I thought that's not LRAD. LRAD is acoustic. It's in your eardrums, you know, like turn them on and it can really damage your ears. But this was burning on the face, and we know microwaves cook from within.
Definitely EMF.
Yeah. Microwaves cook you from within. Definitely. And that's why I think our throats, some of us got our throats burned and things like that. So it's very, very incredible event. And just to think that the Australian Federal Police, with an event that was all okayed and completely peaceful and people talking and a great day, there was no threat of anything, that they would do that to us, really, really should wake most Australians up. I don't know what else to tell them to see that we were attacked from these bastards, you know?
Well, let me just say that in my new book, Welcome to the Masquerade, which will be out this month at long last after, you know, it's about 3 months late, but yeah, it will be out this month at long last. In there, the whole theme of the book is that viruses do not exist, COVID is a scam, and all the symptoms of COVID exactly match those of 5G exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the entire theme of the book, and there is an awful lot of information in there to assimilate. But you're absolutely right. What they're doing, they're bombarding us with EMFs from every direction, even from space, they tell us soon, with all these SpaceX satellites that Elon Musk is launching, 60,000 of them. We're going to be bombarded by 5G radiation, and they're going to call it another virus at some point. There's no doubt about it. This is not the end of the pandemics. But yeah, you know, there's a really good book for anyone who's listening who's interested in this topic, you know, besides my own, by a guy called Arthur Furstenberg. And it's called The Invisible Rainbow. And that is an absolutely superb piece of research. And he absolutely details the progression of our so-called viral diseases and totally correlates it with the progression of the introduction of electromagnetic radiation throughout the last century and a half since electricity began. He presents a lot of evidence to say that flu, just your ordinary common or garden flu, did not exist. The first case of flu was in 1889, and it totally correlated with the introduction of electrical systems at that time. And ever since then, you know, we've gone 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G. Every time there's a change to a new generation of electromagnetic frequencies, there is a big viral outbreak. You know, we've had, you know, things like, there was a Spanish flu one, of course, you know, the big one in the early 20th century. There was another one towards the end of the Second World War. There was the swine flu outbreak, bird flu. Every single time there's been a what they call a pandemic, it's been to cover up the fact, and they know it, of course, that our bodies are totally susceptible to all this electrical interference, because we are an electric being. You know, our cells function on electricity. Our impulses, our nerves, it's an electrical impulse. And so, obviously, all this shit in the air is going to affect us. And that's what viruses are. And they're not these deadly microbes that they can't even prove exist. It's electrical activity in our bodies that's interfering with the way that our bodies work. And it's, you know, that's a very brief thumbnail sketch of it, but I cover this in massive detail, not just myself, but Shannon, my co-author, covers this in massive detail in my book. And like I say, The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg, if anybody's interested in that topic, I would recommend you read it, because it just absolutely nails what's been going on this last 2 years.
Yeah, it's interesting too, John, that you mention Elon Musk, because this character is popping up a lot. He's popped up in Ukraine to offer Starlink satellites, and now he's donating to the flood areas of Lismore, because people have no phone, electricity, nothing. You know, they've got nothing. It's just flooded out. It's a disaster. There's no power. There's no access. Most of the locations are completely buried. People have been sitting on their roofs just waiting for help.
Yeah.
I had to get guys in jet skis and things like that. We have local communities that have to raise money to get a helicopter when the Australian military have billions of dollars worth of equipment and won't help. So it's all done by design. It's all planned. And people, this is where we need to crack the shell. And I think people definitely up in these areas now, they're seeing we cannot rely on these governments anymore. And we're seeing incredible community spirit coming forward now, like I've never seen in my life. And people are working together. And we're basically saying, we don't need you anymore. We don't need your police. We don't need the government, and we don't need the military. Yeah. We're going to get this done ourselves, which is absolutely fantastic to see, because there's a lot of horror in Australia right now in these areas. This is much worse than what the media are reporting, and it's a beyond a disaster. One thing that has happened is that this Elon Musk, he has stepped in and supplied $100,000 worth of his latest tech satellites to connect residents up in Lismore, which is one of the worst hit areas, with communications, because they've been cut off because of the worst flooding in Australia. So Elon Musk is waiting in the wings like Dracula figure in the darkness. And now he's stepped off and he's offering all these new satellite technology and everything to connect everybody to his new Starlink satellites. Now, this is, as I said, John, it's happened in Ukraine. He's stepping in everywhere where they're creating all these disasters, and people have no phone or electricity or any access to connect with anyone else to let them know they're all right or whatever. What's going on here with Elon Musk and his Starlink satellite connections that he's stepping in? He's stepping up here. This is really interesting timing.
But these are not just, you know, communication satellites. These are 5G transmitters.
Above us.
They might not be telling us that. They are 5G transmitters. So they're going to be bathing the earth in 5G. And the carnage that is going to create is just unbelievable. Because everyone who died with those fake COVID symptoms, I mean, they were real symptoms, a lot of them. You know, the shortage of breath was a big one, wasn't it? You can put it all down to 5G. And I, again, to hark back to my book, the new book, Shannon and I actually explain exactly what happened at the beginning of the COVID thing in 2019. There was something going on at that time when it all blew up called the Wuhan Military Games. Okay, so there was about several thousand, I can't remember the exact number, but several thousand athletes from all over the world took part in the Wuhan Games in October 2019. Just about the time when it all kicked off. And they used this because a lot of these athletes fell ill. Now, that was also, by pure coincidence, I'm sure, the exact moment that they switched 5G on for the first time in Wuhan. And there were 10,000 5G transmitters around the city of Wuhan. And a lot of these athletes came down with these exact symptoms, which they call COVID, but which are really a bodily reaction to 5G. And this, by the way, just as a little aside, this is why, you know, all social media platforms such as YouTube, Facebook, you know, all those, they all ban any mention that connects 5G to COVID. I don't know whether you and your listeners are aware of that, but that is absolutely the case. But anyway, on with the story. So what they did very cleverly, very craftily, was they used that Wuhan Games, which I'm sure they timed to perfection, to pretend that it was those athletes going back home that spread the virus around the world. It sounds fantastic, but I present a lot of evidence for this in the book. And the whole thing just correlates with the switch on of 5G. One of the first places where it really, you know, became a huge outbreak after Wuhan was in Northern Italy. Now, what happened in Northern Italy at that time, when all the athletes came home, they switched on 5G in places like, you know, Turin. And there were other places around the world whose names escape me at the moment. It's a bit early in the morning for me. But again, it all correlates to the explosion of this so-called COVID pandemic, which is absolutely nothing to do with any kind of virus. It is absolutely correlated to 5G and electromagnetic frequency radiation. That's what all the symptoms point to.
Absolutely. We've covered it so much on this podcast. I don't know how much more we can cover, but it absolutely does. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. This is the thing that people just can't get over. A lot of people get stuck on this. They think that when they're getting these sickness symptoms that they have a virus. And this is why these cunning demons have been able to get away with us so much. The story about a virus, scaring people about having a virus, it just does so many things while they get all their new technology all implemented and connected up. And what have we been saying on this podcast? Because I witnessed it over and over again when we had the lockdowns last year in Australia. They put those 5G towers everywhere. They were everywhere. Yes. They were in areas that I grew up. They were in areas all over the country, and I traveled and I saw them absolutely everywhere. And that happened when we were locked down. Now, what are they doing? Well, they're putting in all the receivers, John. All the receivers are going everywhere. These padding systems and weird objects sticking up everywhere, all to do with 5G. These things are going everywhere. They're putting them on top of apartment buildings and complexes and things like that. I don't know if you're seeing that in the UK. They're like white pads, big tall pads that go up. Now I think they're going to start going into our neighborhoods and everything like that. I mean, there's just, it's like you're being backed into a corner and there's no escape.
Absolutely. And the other thing that's happening in the UK is they've passed some draconian laws. Anybody damaging 5G cell towers, you know, the penalties are really severe. It's jail. It's not fine. You know, like damaging property is usually kind of a minor offence, isn't it? Where, you know, you might get a slap on the wrist and, you know, I don't know, £250 fine or something for damaging property. But no, not 5G cell towers. Anybody who damages one of those and is caught, it is jail time, serious jail time, you know, just for damaging property, which is just, you know, that. What does that tell you? I mean, that tells you that they really know that, A, people are going to fight back against this. You know, people who are in the know about it are going to fight back. And B, you know, this is a severe deterrent to that kind of behavior, because they know that that is going to be happening. And it is. I mean, people are damaging them already.
They always have
schools and everywhere. It's just absolutely appalling.
They always have to bluff, don't they, John? They bluff with large sums of money as fines or prison sentences to scare everybody off, but it's all a bluff, just like COVID was. Yeah. And, you know, with the COVID fines, if you're seen outside in the day, you know, we're going to fine you $1,500 and all of this. They were doing it all over Australia, you know. It was absolutely insane, but there's no laws. This is what we're now finding.
But I don't think this is a bluff, Adam. That was the point I was making, this 5G thing. This is jail time if you damage a 5G tower. This is not a bluff.
Yeah, but it is in a way. I mean, it is in a way, because it will scare people off. You know what I mean? Like that really,
well, yeah,
that will worry right, people, yeah. You know, but, sure. You know, again, if you have entire regions or communities, hundreds, thousands or whatever people going in and doing it together, that's kind of another story, damaging their equipment. Because if the government or these big telco companies are installing this equipment in communities where people have families and schools and house and hospitals or whatever, whole entire towns or whatever, and they're saying, we don't want it, and you're doing it anyway, those people have a right to defend themselves, you know? I mean, I always believe in that. I think that we have a God-given natural right to self-defense. And if we are under attack and we are being attacked, then we have the right to defend ourselves, and there's nothing that can stop that. And I think that we need to gather the basically, John, to put it in a nutshell, I think we need to get the lanterns and the pitchforks out. But if you're going to get a couple of people or whatever going down and damaging equipment, yeah, of course they'll nail you. You'll get nailed for that. I mean, that they can really nail you there. You know, it's not like the bluffing. So there is a that, you know, with the masks and everything, if you damage equipment, yes, but what do you do when, and we have that in Australia, we have a community saying we don't want this technology, you know, we don't need it, we don't need all this, you know.
It's not necessary. I mean,
this is ridiculous.
Fiber optic works 10 times better than 5G and is 10 times cheaper. So that means to me that there's an ulterior motive, and the ulterior motive is to damage people.
Why did they put it in though, John? We had the NBN network, which is fiber optics. It's copper, isn't it?
Yeah,
copper cabling. And you know, we had old stuff there, and they've done all that here. And I mean, we've all got good internet. I don't have to use Wi-Fi. I'm connected, with the cable there, but they put in all the fiber optics. They took me off cable broadband to bring in the NBN network of all the fiber optics. And then it just seems like, in the blink of an eye, they're putting up all these bloody ugly towers everywhere. And the thing is that amazes me, if I'm driving around in the car now and you drive out towards the Sydney airport and around these places, there's all these disgustingly ugly 5G towers and pads everywhere, receivers, because the range is so short, and they're just putting it up in all our neighborhoods and everywhere. It's so intimidating and awkward and ugly. It just looks terrible.
Right.
They're putting it everywhere,
and
they're just
decimating,
like, what?
The tree population.
They're decimating everything.
Yeah, the tree population, because obviously trees apparently soak up the 5G signals, so they get rid of all the trees. And it's just, it's eco-vandalism. Mm.
And there's no need for it, John.
Terrorism.
That's the thing. What's wrong with the copper cabling, or, you know, under the ground? I mean, every house has got decent service. I mean, for God's sakes, you know, I mean, what's all this crap about getting fast service? I mean, we already do. I mean, how much faster do you want it?
Well, exactly. Like I say, it's nothing to do with communications anymore, Adam. It's about depopulation. That's what it's about. And it's a way of covering up the fact that they're trying to kill everybody. You know, I know that sounds really horrendous to anybody who's not come across that information before, but it is written in stone, in the Georgia Guidestones, for one, but also metaphorically written in stone in Agenda 21 as well. They want a population of the world reducing by 95%.
What a way to do it. Well, I talked with Janice Barcelo about this, and she said that these frequencies, John, these 5G frequencies and stuff we're talking about now, they're not human. They're not meant to be on this earth. They're not of this earth. And I was just, we were discussing basically the 5G technology and the ideas behind it and these frequencies. We were discussing the bizarre technology being isolated within the COVID-19 inoculations, and the graphene oxide and spike proteins. Not just that, but the actual idea behind it. And this all, from what I've studied, all of this, the 5G and these inoculations, the ideas behind it, everything, all this technology, all this seems to be coming from Israel, which is very, very interesting to me. It's all coming from this little country, Israel. It's all coming from there.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
It is, and very funnily scary. Enough, 5G is banned in Israel. So, you know, what do you get from that?
What's going on here, John?
What's going on? Okay, well, I think enough said about Israel. Less said about Israel, the better. But we know that they're behind a lot of the, the ills of the world, shall we say. And, this is just one more example of it, as far as I can see. It's the fact that, they know how damaging 5G is, so they don't allow it in their own country, but they're promoting it like hell everywhere else. It's funny you should mention Janice Barcelo, actually, because Janice is actually a good friend of Shannon, my co-author.
Yes.
And, you know, Shannon has spent a lot of time talking to Janice, and she's found a lot of information. I mean, Janice has got some fantastic information to impart about all this stuff, hasn't she? And, but yeah, it's all a sham. It's all theatre. It's all, none of it is real. It's real in the sense that it's actually happening and killing us, but it's not real in the sense that they want us to believe it. You know, the backstory that they tell us is not real at all. It's all lies. It's all subterfuge, and it's all pushing us into this Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 situation. It's a nightmare. It is a living nightmare what is going on, and we've got to stop them somehow or other. We've got to wake people up. That's the only way we can stop them, you know, because if everybody says no, then it can't happen. They can't fight us, you know. There are 8 billion of us, you know.
This is dark stuff, John. You would have seen recently what happened to cricketer Shane Warne.
Absolutely.
That was very, and he lives in the UK, but I broke it down on a show the other night, but Shane is not into drugs. He's not like this alcoholic and everything like that. Yes, he loves his women. He's a kind of a party boy, but he likes his ladies and everything.
Absolutely.
But he's a family guy, and he's not this guy that's going around sniffing cocaine, and that's all bullshit, I'm telling you. And we grew up with Shane on the TV and watching him play cricket and everything. And, you know what the media is saying here, John? They're actually saying that what happened to him was a diet change. It's because he changed his diet.
As we're talking, I've got a headline on my screen
in front of me
that says, "Experts share dangers of liquid diets."
That's right.
Shane Warne was on an extreme diet before his sad death.
John, Shane Warne last year had his COVID jabs, and he wasn't kind of like pushing it, but he was saying, "Let's just get on with things." He didn't like all the lockdowns and everything, and I saw a few interviews with him. He was saying, "Just get your jabs, you know, get them done, and let's move on." So he got sucker punched into the whole scam. But it's interesting, just the quick timeline with Shane Warne. From what I've studied, he's a pretty fit guy. Yeah. He's 52. He's a multi millionaire. He's got like cologne things and all sorts of stuff, and I noticed after his jabs, which would be the AstraZeneca, he definitely had some kind of reaction. He had flu-like symptoms and high fever. He wasn't well. He saw the doctors. They put him on a ventilator briefly, but he did recover. And I remember kind of going into last year, he was commentating in Australia for the cricket, and he seemed to be back on track. But what's happened is he's gone into a holiday to Thailand for 3 months with some friends, and he's hired a villa there, and he got a booster shot. And straight after that booster shot, when he was in Thailand, he saw a doctor straight away with heart problems. I'm guessing pains or palpitations. And then pretty much what happened to him straight away after that. So he's had a rest in his villa. There was no, they investigated everything that I know. There was nothing that would cause this. And from what I can see, he's hemorrhaged to death. And, because
apparently his hotel room was covered in blood when they found his body.
His hotel room was covered in blood, and there was pools of blood. And when the emergency guys, the ambulance guys come in and they tried to resuscitate him on his chest, he was vomiting blood. So it's almost like filling a balloon with blood, John. That's what they're saying, and pushing the balloon and coming out the spout. So, you know, how does that happen? How is it that when you come in and find someone who's not responding or responsive, and you give them resuscitation and mouth to mouth, they vomit blood like this, and there's pools of blood everywhere? Bullshit. So he was already dead.
Certainly don't cause that for a start.
That's right. He's had a massive heart attack or stroke, and he's hemorrhaged to death from that booster. That's what's happened.
Right.
And this is a terrible death. It's a shocking situation indeed. And now the Thai authorities have come out and said it's just natural causes, because they're not going to go against multi-trillion-dollar pharmaceutical corporations, especially with a case like this, because it's such a high-profile case. But if all this is true, and look, I'm just covering what I know, but if all that's true, that is a shocking, terrifying thing. To taking one of those boosters. And I actually know people recently.
It's a horrible way to die as well.
Yeah, I know people who have their fathers or parents or loved ones have had boosters, and they've had shocking, terrible reactions. And some have actually died. So you are hearing this with the boosters now. This is just outright murder. It's just killing people. It's like, I don't even know how to explain that. And what we're finding out now, John, I'd like your opinion on this. I don't know if you've looked into it, but there's all these documents coming out from Pfizer in the US basically showing that they lied and that these things aren't safe. What really horrifies me, and I don't want to, like, I don't want to seem negative. I'm just going over what they're saying and what I'm looking at. I don't have it in front of me, but they're saying that these Pfizer jabs, they are they're doing, we're talking about chromosomes here, but DNA, that they're basically not only getting into an, maybe I don't know if you what you think, John, altering or removing our DNA, but they're actually producing their own DNA within like 3 weeks or something like that. Did you read this kind of material? When you're talking about DNA and chromosomes, I mean, this is very, very, very scary stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, somebody's just sent me in the last day or so, and this is connected to what you're just saying there, Adam, an article, a piece about the fact that I think it was Chile, it was some South American country, are now changing all their laws to make DNA-modified people legal. Okay, so again, we're just seeing legal entities. This is heading towards transhumanism. Okay, for those who are listening who don't know what transhumanism is, this is the merging of man with machine, and this is exactly what these vaccines are designed to do, with all these nanobots inside them and all the rest of it. And again, it's part of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, changing us. What they're trying to do, I mean, the ultimate agenda is, you know, cutting through all the bullshit that they tell us. The ultimate agenda is to reduce the population by 95%, and the remaining 5% will be remote controllable machine and man hybrids that they can control totally. Because at the end of the day, what it's all about, they, all the while, all through the millennia, all through the centuries, have been in a very tenuous position. And, you know, believe it or not, these people are terrified of us, you know, we, the common herd. And this is their way. This is their ultimate way of actually finally mastering us and controlling us in a way that they know we can't fight back from. So they're going to get rid of 95% of us, and the remaining 5% will become remote controllable machines. This is this is openly stated. There's a famous book by a guy called Ray Kurzweil called The Singularity Is Near. And the singularity that he refers to is merging man with machines. It's terrifying, but this is what it's all about. This is the ultimate agenda. It's so that they've got a free rein to just live their lives in undreamed of luxury and yet not have to worry about a fight back or a push back from we, the common herd. And with the advent of all the technology that they have now, they don't need us anymore. They don't need us to work the machines anymore. They don't need us to do the paperwork. It's all becoming automated. You know, you phone a big company now, you never get to speak to a human being. It's all done automatically. So they, you know, literally don't need us anymore. This is where we're heading if we let it get to that point. But, you know, I'm still optimistic that we can fight back. Because we've got to, for the sake of humanity. Otherwise, humanity's finished.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's John, and you were mentioning before the Chile one, and that was from the Daily Exposé.uk. That was Chile approves a law to protect employment rights of mutants and genetically modified humans.
That was it. Yeah, you got it.
And so, yeah, and the documents are all there from the Republic of Chile. And so, yeah, I put that up myself. And
was it you? I do beg your pardon.
Probably was.
I get sent so much stuff, Adam. You can imagine it.
That's right. This was an incredible article and piece of information because Chile, as we know, is probably one of the highest, second or whatever, highest inoculated country in the world. I think they're going for the fourth now. They're really pushing it into the people there. And right. And this is an interesting situation because we had some doctors over there. There was one in Argentina was talking about this technology that's being put into people, how it's patented, you know. This is technology that is not yours. You know, whether it's from pharmaceutical corporations or DARPA or whatever, this is tech that's been put into your body that's changing you genetically. And we're talking about chromosomes. That is, whoa. I mean, if your DNA is being artificially synthesized, like if they're putting in like a new template or something, if they're putting some kind of technology in our bodies, and I'm just going off my head here, that's maybe changing or pushing aside your original human DNA that makes you, or it's taking it over in some way, and then this technology through the injections is actually making its own DNA within your body, and that stuff is sort of rebuilding its way out. This is unbelievable. Yeah. And here you go from Chile, one of the highest vaccinated countries in the world. They're actually implementing a law here that would, you know, basically make it illegal to discriminate against mutants and genetically modified individuals. And this is a bill being passed in the Chilean government. This is unbelievable, where they're actually calling people genetically modified organisms. That means that you're just not human anymore, and whatever traits your body exposes, or whoever you become in the future, or your children become, or whatever conditions or health conditions they may suffer from or have, this is a bill to protect them against being discriminated against or fired or whatever. Yeah. So
what does that tell us?
This is crazy.
This is exactly what they're doing.
Unbelievable.
You know, there is no other explanation. And the other thing, of course, is once you genetically modify something, you know, it's not legal at the moment to patent the human genome. But if you modify it, as they do with GMOs, you know, they genetically modify food, they patent it and they have a monopoly on it and they own you. They will own your genome. You know, so they will, in effect, control you in every possible way imaginable. And it's an absolute, as I kind of touched on earlier, it's an absolute no-brainer. It's absolutely cast iron certain, is what I'm trying to say, that they already have the technology to remote control us, our bodily movements. And also, more disturbingly than that, our thoughts. That technology is available now, and it is patented. And they're modifying us to facilitate that move. This is what the vaccinations have been all about. And this is why they had to come up with one of the reasons they had to come up with a load of nonsense like the COVID virus in order to facilitate the vaccination program.
Have you looked into it all, John, shedding or you know, from a lot of people who are not vaccinated are claiming they might be getting sick, and we're hearing some information, but I'm looking at everything and I haven't witnessed anything. I don't have anything credible like in front of me, but
I don't.
It's worrying me, like being around vaccinated people, that others are going to...
Well, don't, because the only way that shedding could possibly affect us if the germ theory is true.
The technology through the jabs, the spike proteins or the graphene oxide, because the CSIRO in Australia developed a technology years ago where they could vaccinate, and it wasn't a jab, it was like a liquid maybe on the skin or the necks of cattle and herds of animals, where they could just give it to a few and that would spread through the herds. So it was a technology able for the farmers, to vaccinate their entire herds quickly without actually injecting all of them. I'm just sort of thinking, is there something that maybe vaccinated people could be nothing to do with a viral sort of transmission, like contagion, not that is not real. I just mean being around vaccinated people. Do we have to be worried here, do you think, or is it a matter of looking after yourself, your immune system?
There's a big divergence of opinion about that, even amongst people who really know what's going on. I've heard both sides of the argument. I've heard people say that, shedding is a real thing and it's a real danger to unvaccinated people. And I've heard others who are equally credible saying no. And I mean, I'm not a scientist. I don't understand all the ins and outs of it all, how it all works. But, I've heard other credible people say that, no, that's not the case because X, Y, Z. And I can't remember what the X, Y, Z is because it's a while since I read about it. But I honestly don't know the answer to it, Adam, is the simple bottom line. But it is an interesting question for sure. And, I wouldn't be surprised about anything, put it that way. But,
We did hear some info, John, about if people are getting this tech injected into them via the jabs. This graphenes and things, and they themselves are going to start connecting with Bluetooth and 5G frequencies, because this is the future, and we always talk about that, where we will become the system. People won't need ID anymore, because the system will just be you, and you will be it. It will recognize you, and if you're not up to date with your jabs or whatever, you'll get flagged. But that aside, it's an interesting concept to kind of think about that, because, I sit here and I ponder it, sort of thing. God, if people have got this technology in them, John, and the best way I could describe it is, because the videos that I've seen of the graphene oxide reacting with the frequencies of 5G or cell phones and stuff around, you can see these kind of how it shape forms and changes like a black goo that we were shown in, for years in all the film clips and movie clips we saw it so much. And it's almost like these things are growing antennas, and it's like people are becoming, with these injections, walking antennas, and people who are sensitive to EMF frequencies, people who can't be around them, who get sick around Wi-Fi and all this stuff and don't want to be near these towers, if they're close to people who have these injections, who are interacting with these 5G frequencies and stuff, there could be that sort of offshoot, if you will, that's making them the people around them feel sick who aren't vaccinated. That's a possibility that could be emitting from them, almost, if it's that powerful.
Possible,
it's still early days, but it's almost like people are being turned into walking towers. Because they're is that what your study has led you to sort of think, that we're being turned into these kind of walking towers?
I mean, it's a definite possibility. I mean, there's who knows, Adam, at the end of the day, but it's certainly interesting. They're turning us into, they're filling our bodies with heavy metals for a start, which turns us into walking antenna in that sense alone. you know, and this is why so many people are extremely sensitive to EMF waves. They call them EHS people. I think Janice Barcelo is one of them, actually, isn't she?
Yes,
extremely hypersensitive, or electro hypersensitive, sorry, EHS. And that's a similar thing with my co-author Shannon on my latest book. And I think that's how her and Janice eventually got, you know, initially got in contact, was because they were both, you know, of that ilk. Now, Shannon, she lives in the forests in Northern California, like 10 miles from the nearest road, because she can't be anywhere where there's a Wi-Fi signal or even a cell phone signal, because it just affects her body so badly, because her body is full of heavy metals and she's trying to detox. But it's not easy. It takes a long, long time. But that's it. When you've got so much metal inside you, you do become a walking antenna, in effect. And you naturally, your body attracts all this EMF radiation that is being, you know, beamed at us from everywhere. So yeah, in that sense, we will become walking antennas, all of us. Yeah, if they get their own way.
Mm.
This is what chemtrailing is all about. It's filling our bodies with heavy metals. You know, barium, aluminium. And again, it's all part, you know, it's just a minor adjunct onto the agenda, you know, but that's what the last 20 years of chemtrailing has been all about, to prepare us for this point in time, filling us with all these metals that are destroying our, and again, it's all connected to Alzheimer's. This is why this epidemic of Alzheimer's and dementia is going on, because our brains are full of heavy metal. And of course, the older you are, it's a cumulative thing. More heavy metal you get in your body, it disrupts the electrical impulses in your brain, and this is what causes Alzheimer's, you know. So it's all connected, and it's all a very, very insidious and nasty agenda. Sorry, it's been a very dark one, this, hasn't it? But sometimes these truths have to be told, don't they, you know?
Yeah, I don't, I mean, it is, but I'm just trying to dig to the bottom of things and find out if we don't know what's going on and what's being done to us, you know, and we can't face it and accept it, and, you know, we'll never get anywhere. And there's things being done to us that we have to discuss. And we have to dig it up and bring it out into the open. And I think a lot of people are seeing this now. And as I mentioned earlier anyway, you know, going to such large protests in Australia and what's happening all around the world, people are getting it. They're seeing it. And you go to these protests with a million people, John, and you're seeing people talking and holding things up, and they're talking about all this that we're discussing now. They know that we're under attack here, and so, you know, it's that whole thing, isn't it, that there's, at one point, there's this whole awakening happening, you know, this whole energy shift, this consciousness shift away from all of this, where, you know, and then you have this desperate kind of attempt to keep us stuck in the mud and pull us back down and keep feeding on us what this system is trying to do. And as we always say, the system itself will become uglier, and it will lash out, and things will get worse as more of us wake up and we start to change our vibrational frequencies and shift away from this. And because all it takes is understanding and awareness. Once enough people on planet Earth start to become aware of this system and what it's doing, that changes our vibrational frequencies to a more loving state, because that's a more positive state. And we move away from these negative frequencies, which is all about fear. And once you start to move away from those vibrational frequencies out of that fear mode, it starts changing, and that will affect this system, whatever the hell this is. That's definitely something feeding on us, and we talk about this all the time. And I think that's what's happening, and we're going to see this. We're going to see flooding and wars and all this stuff we're talking about. But, you know, we just have to keep discussing it and getting the information out there and getting the conversation rolling, and because that to me is the most important thing now, awareness. Once every single individual becomes aware, you don't have to go to college and study for years and years, because the information, everything that you need to know is already in you. It's like turning a key. They put you through college and university and all these years and years and years of study to break you down and dumb you down. and implement
and
you,
also to extract,
inject you into their system.
Money from you as well.
That's right, and extract your time, your energy, and your money. But you don't need all that because everything you ever needed to be and everything you ever needed to know is all inside of you. You just need to be aware, and once you're aware, it turns on that key, John. And the whole system just starts to sort of break down in front of your eyes. And this is what we need people to start doing, seeing the system for what it really is. And that's the magic trick here for us. And that's why you said, John, they fear us so much. Because it's all a mental, a mind thing. Once we start sort of seeing this, they know that we can see right through them. And our minds can change everything. So they're trying to break us down from within and control us like puppets.
Yes.
That's their whole system. And get inside of us so they can sort of take charge, like driving a car and, you know, moving the guy out of the car and you drive it. That's the way that it
is. That's exactly it. That's exactly what they're trying to do.
You know, and we've got to make sure that doesn't happen and start and so that's the thing that keeps me positive anyway. And I know it does you, that we're in the driver's seat. We just got to realize the power that we do have.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's very wise words there, mate. And, you know, that's probably a nice point to,
absolutely.
You know, to, you know, take on board as a, you know, as a kind of a fitting end to the show, in a sense. I'm not trying to close the show down, but you know what I mean? That, I'd rather end on a positive note than a negative one, and that's the perfect way to describe it. You know?
We always do. We try to do that, John. And I think on the next one, I'd like to continue my discussion about the Freemasons a little bit. And I know we've talked about it a little bit, but I brought it up tonight, and I think it's a real big theme in your books to understand what this is. I want to get your opinion on all this. I know you love to go into this, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, the banking system, this kind of system that does control. It's very interesting to me, and a lot of people are asking about the Freemason type system because we have a lot of lower level Freemason type politicians and prime ministers in this country that are displaying these Freemason symbols, and you can very clearly see it, you know, so they're definitely part of that. And anybody who thinks the Freemasons, oh, that's conspiracy theory, I don't think so, because I'm seeing a lot of this, and I wanted to ask you a lot, get your kind of bullet points on what the Freemasons are. Where it dates back to, maybe, you know, like this whole kind of history of this. I think this is kind of fascinating stuff, and I know it's all through your book. So I think we might talk about that on the next. Podcast.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great idea, and yeah, I'd love to go through all that. I've done a couple of lectures in the last few weeks, specifically about Freemasons and their adjunct, which is the Royal Society, which is what they control all of mainstream science through. They control it through something called the Royal Society, which is obviously based in England. And it's a fascinating topic. So yeah, by all means, let's have a go at that. Yeah,
it kind of gives people a view of what's kind of going on here, and it's really all around you, and you do see it. Let's finish off tonight's podcast. Just mention your new book. And give us a couple of bullet points on what we might expect from the book. It's been a labor of love, I know, but it's finally coming out.
Yeah, it's been a labor of love, but it's also been a pain in the backside.
I bet.
It's taken so much of my time up. I did the first last week and the week before. I did the first proofing run through it. Shannon and I are doing it together, but, you know, we're taking little different bits of it. So it took me 90 hours to do the first pass of it. 90 hours, so it's a massive piece of work. Anyway, that's by the by. It's basically about what I was saying before about the connection between EMF and COVID, and also it covers everything, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and it links it all together, and it just gives you the bigger picture, and it talks a little bit about transhumanism and where it's all going unless we stop them. So it's the whole picture. It's about what's been going on these last 2 years and how it relates to what's happened in the past and how it relates to what's going to happen in the future if these people get their own evil ways. So yeah, it's a massive piece of work. Even though I say it myself, it's the best book I've been involved in. You know, it's a joint effort rather than my other books. But nevertheless, It certainly supplanted my previous favorite book, which was Behind the Curtain. And it's, because it's so comprehensive, and it just absolutely, every element of what's been going on is covered in there. And it's just, I think it's fascinating read for anyone who's, who wants to get into the real nitty-gritty of what's been going on and why. Yeah.
That's
In a
right.
nutshell. Yeah. And
And
that's hopefully going to be out by the end of the month.
yeah, right.
It should be at the publisher by the end of this week. And obviously it takes a few weeks to get that actually, published. So yeah, it's 3 months late. We wanted it out in January, but never mind. Can't always get what you want.
That's
There's been
right.
so much stuff going on in our lives, you know.
There's so much going on, yeah. But it's an important book for our times. As you move
It is.
forward in your research and as an author as well, and we learn more. So, yeah, it's amazing to look at your books and how it's shifted here into this, these dark frequencies and this control of humanity
Definitely.
through these frequencies. Isn't it amazing? I always say, if there's a devil out there, this is how it's going to get to us through these frequencies. But still, we have that ability to turn away from this, folks, and that is through awareness. As long as we know what they're doing, and communities start turning away from this because they need this knowledge and information. It's ridiculous to just sit around, John, and think, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to take all this because I want faster internet and want to watch." All these programs and connect faster. That's ridiculous. It's not about that. We're under attack here. And I think you said it, and I've said it as well many times, and it's an uncomfortable thing to say, but people are not, need to understand this system either wants you under control or dead. And that's just as that's we're just being honest. Under control or dead. It's not your friend. You can't associate with it. You can't talk it down. People really need to grow up here and understand this, and we need to start moving on from there. Because boy, people are just still under so much control from the media and everything. But I think, John, as we finish the show, I think that what you're doing and putting out these books, it's an incredibly important thing that we're discussing this right now. And I always feel privileged and proud because I think it's amazing to be sitting here tonight talking to you about this.
Thank
Because
you.
we could be
Very
just
kind of you to
sitting
say
there
so.
watching TV, you know? I mean, it's incredibly important, and this goes out to people and they can share and listen, and I think it's not always going to be comfortable.
No.
But it's the way that we break everything down. And so
Yes.
that's why these talks are so important. And you want to mention your great shows on BitChute as well? Because they're doing really well. And you started that from nothing, and it's
Yeah.
going great for you.
Thank you. I mean, we've got about six videos on there now. It's early days. There's only about 150 subscribers at the moment. We're trying to get the numbers up, obviously, to spread the message around. But if anyone wants to check them out, if you go on BitChute and key in John Hamer Official into the search bar, you'll find my channel, and I would very much appreciate it if you listened to a few things and subscribed, and we always encourage comments as well. We love to hear from you all, so yeah, please go on there, subscribe, and have a listen. There's some really, even I say it myself, there's some interesting and valuable information on there, and you'd be most welcome no matter whereabouts in the world you are. It doesn't matter, it doesn't make any difference. So yeah, thanks, Adam.
Just to get
We're
involved.
trying our best.
Yeah, that's right. They're great discussions, and I post them as well. So,
Thank
really,
you.
really
Appreciate
good,
it.
really good work, John. Anything you want to finish on?
No, again, just the usual positive thing, and say that we will win this. I do believe that good will triumph eventually. Might not be next week, might not be next year. Hopefully in my lifetime, but at some point in time, these people will be defeated, and humanity will be able to live a peaceful and prosperous life without these demons who are constantly trying to destroy us. So chin up, everybody. It's hard times. Just take each day as it comes for now. And, you know, God bless you all. All the best to you. And I'm no doubt we'll speak again very soon.
All right, chat again next month, John, and always great to speak with you. I think the next time we chat, your book should be out. So
it certainly will be.
Yeah, yeah. It will be. So we'll maybe we'll do the next show. We'll promote the book a little bit as well, and
you, yeah,
and get that out there. I'll put it up on the website Book Slider as well. That's going to be exciting,
yeah.
And so people can get that. And we'll chat again on the next one.
Excellent. Thanks, Adam.